Chapter 1. The rich smell of coffee and decadently sweet baked goodies filled the air inside of Cuppa Joe's, and despite her early morning breakfast, Jolie Carter found herself fighting the tempting aroma of the pumpkin spice bread drizzled abundantly in shiny vanilla icing. Such a weak will, Jojo. As it always did, the overly critical sound of her mother's voice filled Jolie's head, souring her mood but ending her desire to snag one of the pumpkin slices from the display case. Jolie grabbed her water bottle from the counter and took a long sip as she walked into the rear storage section to get a new supply of coffee cups. She shoved the plastic-wrapped cups under her arm and took another long sip, wishing someone would create a calorie-free substitute for all the pound-adding goodies that went so well with her gourmet coffee business. She re-entered the area behind the counter and stooped to stow the cups in their proper place, only to find herself face to glass with a sealed container of replacement pumpkin bread, waiting for its turn to go on display. Shaking her head, she took another large swig of water as she stood. "Smells good." Startled by the sudden appearance of Nathan Quinn, how had he entered without her hearing the chime on the door? She choked and coughed and struggled to catch her breath. Quinn leaned over the counter separating them and pounded gently on her back with one hand while grabbing a napkin with the other, handing it to her so she could wipe her watery eyes. "Thanks," she gasped, still coughing. "Didn't mean to startle you." "But he does it so well," she thought. She wiped her eyes and her now running nose and fought for composure. A mere month ago, one of her best friends had married Quinn's best friend and business partner, officially making her and Quinn acquaintances. But no matter how many times she found herself in the same room as the tall, imposing man with his raspy, damaged voice and intimidating physique, she couldn't get used to it, or to him. He was too much. "It's fine," she said, clearing her throat as she moved away from the counter and out of reach. "What can I get you?" She tried, as she always did, not to look at the half-circle scar on his throat, but her gaze fell to the thin, jagged line crossing the front of his otherwise tanned skin. Obviously, the cut hadn't been fatal, though she imagined he'd spent quite a long time fighting for his life as a result. How had it happened? Why? She wanted to ask, but wouldn't let herself. "Large coffee, black." Quinn's expression darkened to an even more imposing frown, and she wondered if he'd caught her staring. "Coffee," she reminded herself. His order didn't surprise her. By all accounts, Quinn appeared to be a basic kind of man. He wore jeans and t-shirts, well-worn shoes that looked surprisingly expensive but aged with use. No, a surprise would have been Quinn asking for one of her chocolate-whipped and dairy-laden drinks that rivaled the big-name coffeehouse chains. But then, given his physique, he would burn the calories off in no time. No man obtained those kinds of muscles from sitting in a chair. But if Quinn wasn't prone to a sweet tooth, what were his vices? Yet another question you aren't going to ask. She filled his request, aware of Quinn's gaze following her the entire time. "What brings you to town?" Making idle chit-chat with customers was one of her strengths. Something she'd forced her painfully shy self to learn to do. But with Quinn, chit-chat didn't come easy. She peeked at him over her shoulder, taking in his 6-foot-plus height, broad shoulders and chest, arms barely contained by the sleeves of the black t-shirt he wore. A baseball cap covered short hair the color of her most decadent mocha grind, and he had several days' worth of shadow lining his jaw and cheeks. She let her gaze drift, noting the scrolling tattoo trailing down his left arm from beneath the shirt sleeve and over his thick bicep. "Careful." "I'm sorry, what?" Hot coffee poured over her fingers and scorched. "Ow." She set the cup down with a bang, spilling even more of the expensive brew, and waved her fingers in the air in a poor effort to cool them. She turned and startled again, coming nose to chest with Quinn, who had apparently jumped the counter to get to her so quickly. "Give me your hand." He didn't give her a chance to respond. He simply took hold of her wrist and tugged her to the sink, flipping the tap to full blast before shoving her hand beneath the cool water. If it hadn't felt so good, she would have taken him to task for moving behind the counter, but she found herself lacking when it came to words. "Get a grip, Joe. He's just a man." A big, unsettling, disturbing man who always watched her, seemingly as aware of her as she was of him whenever he was near. "Better?" Did Quinn ever use more than 5 words in a sentence? Better yet, could she ever use more than a handful of words in talking to him? Yes, she said. She pulled her hand from his and grabbed a nearby towel, ignoring the painful sting in her fingers. Thanks for the save. No problem. Let me get your order, she said. And the $10 in change you left last time. Just trying to help a new business. No one in this economy had $10 to waste. And if he did, she couldn't accept it when there were other businesses in Stone River and the college community around Zeller University struggling a lot more than she was. The coffee business was brisk. It was amazing how hard people would dig for spare change to fund their habit. Not that she was complaining. Ignoring him as best she could, she grabbed the cup she'd poured for him and dumped a bit of it down the sink before wiping the cup thoroughly to remove the mess. Finally, she added a lid, grateful the simple task was complete. Here. On the house. For the rescue. Quinn accepted the cup, but didn't move. You seem distracted. Everything okay? Other than seemingly hallucinating on her way into work and making a fool of herself just now, she was peachy. Jolie ignored his query and slid along the edge of the counter to avoid further contact. She made her way to the movable section, waiting for him to follow her and go back to the proper side. I'm fine. Sure about that? Would he drop it already? Surely she wasn't the only woman who got tongue-tied when he was around. Positive. If the besties could see her now, she'd never hear the end of it. They'd tease her about her clumsiness and encourage her to flirt with Quinn. To smile, at the very least. But Quinn wasn't her type, not that she really had one. All she knew was that Quinn was former military-turned-private contractor mercenary before he left that life to stay stateside. Based on the few things Emma had said, Quinn's past was secretive and dangerous and something he never discussed. Have a good day, she said, quickly lowering the divider. If you talk to the honeymooners, tell Em I hope she's having fun. Emma had tutored Ian McGregor, a blinded former soldier, in ways to come to terms with his blindness before falling head over heels for the man. Emma and Ian had tied the knot the first week of September, but had waited another month to take their honeymoon, just so Emma, who had recently regained her sight after 14 years of blindness, could see the glorious colors of fall on the drive to board a plane to St. Lucia. Quinn had driven them to the coast since Emma hadn't mastered driving just yet, put them on a plane, and a military buddy of Ian's on R&R had met them on the island to do double duty as tour guide and guard. Due to his inability to see, Ian had issues with making sure Emma stayed safe, especially after what had happened to her recently when one of Emma's students had stalked her. Will do. Quinn turned away just as the chime on the door sounded, announcing a customer's arrival. Jolie exhaled in relief and focused her attention on the patron walking in, but her smile of welcome froze on her face. She choked again, unable to catch her breath or move. Quinn, she said before he could walk out the door. You forgot something. Quinn froze with his hand on the push bar of the door, his gaze zeroing in on her before sliding to the man who'd just entered. Give me a minute, she said to Quinn, trying to keep the unease out of her voice. Have a seat. Her heart pounded in her chest, and for a brief few seconds, she actually felt the room whirling a bit. Please don't leave me, she thought. Yeah, no problem, Quinn said, idly moving toward the tables and chairs and displays she had featuring coffees, teas, books by local authors, and other odds and ends the university town seemed to favor. She stared at the man now standing across from her, gazing at her with a quizzical expression, as if he knew her but couldn't place her. Was it possible? Could he not know her? Recognize her? I'd like a large coffee, 3 creams, 2 sugars. And one of those, he said, pointing to one of the brownies in the glass case. But you can finish with him first. No hurry, Quinn quickly said, countering the offer. Her hands trembled when she grabbed the brownie and shoved it into a bag. The coffee was next, and as she placed the items on the counter, she realized it was the fastest she'd ever completed an order. What do I owe you? The man asked. Money. He needed to pay. She kept her head low so that her hair slid forward and hid her face from view. 4:53. Keep it, he said, handing her a five. Have a good day. She stared at the $5 bill, vaguely hearing the chime on the door sound as Blake Parker left her business and went on with his life, even though his sudden appearance had just shattered hers. Hot yet numb, she placed the bill in the cash drawer and counted out the difference, adding it to the empty tip jar by the side of the register. Each drop of the coins pierced her ears and mocked her. 47 cents. Was that really all she was worth? What was that about? Quinn asked. Quinn's raspy, injured voice pulled her out of her dazed state, and now that Blake was gone, she realized because of her haste to not be alone with him, she owed Quinn an explanation. Her mind scrambled, and finally hit on her earlier comment about returning Quinn's too generous tip. She had forgotten about it after getting burned, but it was the perfect excuse now. She hit the button on the cash register once more and retrieved a $10 bill, holding it out to him. I don't want it, Jolie. Please, she said, only then noticing how badly the bill trembled in her grasp. She lowered it to the counter and shoved it toward him. Take it. A long moment passed with Quinn staring at her face. Her cheeks were flushed, and sweat beaded on her forehead and at her temples. She felt it gathering and hoped Quinn didn't notice. Did you know that guy? She wet her dry lips and tried to shrug casually. Don't laugh, but I thought for a second there he was one of the fugitives from the news this morning. She forced a laugh that emerged shrill and off-key and winced. Silly, huh? I mean, why would a fugitive stop for coffee, right? Sorry to keep you. Jolie wrapped her arms around her waist and squeezed, her nails digging into her skin through her loose blouse. Harder, until pain cleared the fog from her mind. Guess I'm jumpier than normal. You know, after what happened with Emma. Quinn's dark green eyes narrowed on hers. He didn't believe her. And why would he, when she was a horrible liar? But it wasn't like she could tell him the truth. You're sure? He asked, his gaze shifting over her face. She squared her shoulders and managed a nod. She'd been taken by surprise and shocked by Blake's sudden appearance, but she was smarter and stronger now, not a stupid, naive little girl. I'm fine. Take the money. Use it to buy more coffee later, she said. I'll do that, if you promise to call if you need me. She nodded again and kept a smile pinned to her cheeks until Quinn finally turned and left the coffee house. All too quickly, she realized she couldn't move. Her feet were planted on the beautifully stained wood floor as though glued there by the varnish, her legs locked, body frozen. She gazed at the sidewalk on the other side of her store window as passers-by stopped to chat with one another, inserted coins into the parking meters, and window-shopped the main street closest to Zeller University. Life moved on at its regular pace while she couldn't move. The pain in her sides finally registered, and she looked down, realized she stood there hugging herself, her nails clenched into her body, releasing the scream she couldn't voice because inside she fought the urge to do something she hadn't done in a very long time. Not for 10 years, 6 months, and 5 days. The accomplishment was there, a number tallied in her journal every morning. But the overwhelming urge was too strong to ignore, and she moved along the counter, thankful that her normally bustling business was presently empty. The glass tip jar drew her like a beacon, and she stared at the 47 cents lining the bottom. She glanced up long enough to see if anyone was near the entrance, before taking the jar with her into the back and hurtling it as hard as she could onto the floor. It shattered with a sharp explosion that did nothing to soothe her pain. She stared at the pieces, at the mess, anger and bitterness welling up inside her because, like her life, it was another mess she now had to clean up. Moaning, she dropped down and quickly gathered them up, scrambling across the floor on her knees, paying no attention to the tiny prickling pieces jabbing into them. Blake's face appeared in her mind, and she whimpered as she sat back, a long glass shard in her hand. 47 cents. That was the price of her virginity. Her dignity. Her reputation. And her family. Every ounce of pain she'd felt flooded her. A tear slid down her cheek, and humiliation and fury took hold. A minute or two in her store and Blake Parker had reduced her to this. To pain, sharp and biting, then a few dark seconds of oblivion. "I'm sorry," she said to herself. The bell chimed on the storefront entry, and Jolie slowly blinked her eyes open, stared at the blood now trickling down her thigh. Regret filled her, clashing with the numbness that never lasted long enough. "Jolie," one of her regular customers called out. "Mrs. Patel." The woman came in every day after her trip to the library. "Be right there." She reached for a roll of paper towels on the shelf and slapped a few of them on her leg, grabbing a towel next and tying it in a makeshift bandage. The pain left her teary-eyed, but the shame was worse. She couldn't change what she'd just done. All she could do was start the count again. Try to do better. Always better. Such a weak will, Jojo. Her wound momentarily cared for, Jolie straightened her skirt, washed her hands, and composed herself as best she could before shoving through the door to the front where her customer waited. "Hi, Mrs. Patel," she said to the smiling woman. "Your usual?"